Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Time now for our opening commodity market report. Here to do that is Illinois Public Media's Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading and give the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. On this Friday morning in Kansas City, July wheat opened at 6:56, up 9 on the open. September, 6:65, up 8. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 6:03, up 9.5 on the open. September, 6:28, up 8.5. December, 6:51, up 9 on the open. July corn opened at 6:29.5, up 5.5 on the open. September, 4:29.5, up 5.5 on the open. September, 4:38.5, up 4.75. December, 4:50, up 4.5. March of 2010, 4:60.5, up 5. May, 4:65.75, up 3.25. July, 4:72.75, up 3.75 on the open. July beans opened at 11.83, up 8 on the open. August, 11.45, up 8.5. September, 10.76, up 5. November, 10.35, up 11.5. January, 11.36, up 11. March of 2010, 10.22, up 10. May, 10.04, up 8.75. November of 2010, 9.63, down 2 on the open. July soybean meal opened at 3.83, up 3.80 on the open. August, 3.67, up 4.50. July soybean oil opened to 38.22, up 24 on the open. August, 38.30, up 16. June live cattle opened at 82.85, up 32.5 on the open. August feeders, 101.90, up 22.5. June lean hogs, 65.65, up 22.5. And July bellies, 72.75, up 177.5 on the open. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Looking at the U.S. dollar this morning, it's made new lows for its move. And, you know, generally people like to say that if the dollar is falling, that's positive for commodities. I mean, that's a general assumption people like to make. But I'm beginning to wonder if the dollar is falling too quickly and it might actually put a cap on soybean and corn rallying prices.
Well, it very well could. I think the issue at hand, Dave, and maybe what you're picking up is the concern that maybe the United States is going to lose on its credit rating, its AAA status in terms of its bonds and its sovereign debt. If it does, and we're looking at a pretty significant issue as far as why would other countries use and continue to use the dollar as a reserve currency. So there's nothing to report or promote in terms of an idea that that is indeed happening. But anecdotally, it's starting to take more time in the newswire reports. There's more people talking about it. I guess one of the things that hasn't been spoken about very much here is maybe one of the reasons why this is being looked at is not just the bonds going lower and driving interest rates up, which fights the stimulus plan and the policies of the Fed and the Treasury, but also the things that are coming through in terms of Washington policy, you know, GM and the potential bankruptcy there, the climate bill. I saw the subcommittee in the Senate last night pass the climate change bill, and now it's moved, I believe it was the actual committee, so now it's moving to the full Senate. Also, the issue in California, I believe California is probably something that currency traders are looking at and saying, is the United States taxpayer going to have to bail out California now? And if that sets a precedence, who's next? So I think those all are wrapped into the U.S. dollar right now, and it does cause concern because if the dollar keeps going lower, it hurts our ability to buy exports and buy products from China and export their products, and that in turn hurts them. If the dollar keeps going lower, it's going to keep driving energy prices up, and the last thing we need right now is to return back to $3 a gallon gasoline. So domestically, consumption is going to be hit by a weaker dollar. So there is a tipping point here where it hurts. Probably the best thing to watch in the short term, Dave, in terms of our analysis and what we've been thinking is if the dollar going lower continues and yet the S&P 500 and the crude oil actually go lower with it, that's probably your best signal that the economic fundamentals are starting to push back on the bullishness of the currency going down and the inflation bulls that are out there saying commodities are going to go straight up because of a weaker dollar. So that's probably our best gauge at this point in the short term.
Could we throw copper in with that too?
Yeah, you could throw copper in with that. I think I like the energy a little bit more just because we are coming into gas, the gasoline season, and I think the higher gas prices get at the pump in this summer, the harder it's going to be for us to pay down our credit cards, the harder it's going to be for us to be able to get credit by banks. And obviously, the higher the interest rates go, the harder it's going to be to get credit as well. And essentially, what we're looking for is a return in consumption in the United States and a bottom in housing that promotes the idea that the S&P and the Dow Jones have gone high enough, and it also promotes the idea that the emerging markets can and will help lead us out. But I think there's a fallacy out there that I thought we put to bed maybe 4 or 5 months ago that the emerging markets can decouple from the United States, Europe, and Japan. That is not likely because the Chinese and the Asian markets are so export-driven in terms of their GDP and their economy. So there's only so much those governments can do. And if they have to start intervening in currencies to protect their currencies from falling or from rallying with the dollar falling, that's just going to take more money that they don't have right now. So it is an issue we have to look at longer term. And short term, you know, the S&P and the crude are probably our best indicators.
Let's take it back to the charts. November beans today essentially hitting a technical goal that we've been talking about on the air for some time, that being the January highs. We're having some Johnny-come-latelys entering the marketplace. Total open interest is on the rise. We note that the spread, July and spread, is beginning to decline a little bit. Are we seeing some unwinding of the spread that's pushing Nov's higher? Or are there some other factors that are in play that could give further upward impetus to November beans?
Well, kind of a two-part question there. The unwinding of the spread is indeed happening on a technical nature, and there's also some fund rolling that's been reported by the trade. Our contacts in Chicago have made us aware also that we've got about a $20 discount for July delivery in soybeans per bushel coming out of Brazil, about a 50-cent per bushel discount in Brazil for August delivery. And so that's garnering the attention of the fundamentalists up in the bean pits. The technicals are garnering the attention and the spread. So that's what's probably hitting the July the most. The Johnny-come-latelys you talk about are pretty interesting because we're actually hearing pretty strong reports and anecdotal evidence by increasing open interest that the funds, and quite a big number of funds in terms of positions, are coming into the beans at this point on ideas that this weaker dollar will continue to promote inflation and that they need to be in commodities and commodity currencies. You know, Dave, it's funny. I sat here yesterday and looked at the markets and listened to the TV, and at the end of the day I had this huge feeling after talking to clients about their planning delays. I heard this huge feeling of deja vu with last May, where the micro fundamentals are improving for corn and beans and wheat, but the outside market fundamentals are starting to get very, very worrisome in terms of the economic analysis and what we have to go through with the consumption side of the equation and whether we're setting ourselves up for another big break here in the not-too-distant future. So it's amazing how similar we've come around. And even the last thing that was not similar to last year was that the funds were not really evident and participating in the commodity markets. And guess what? New funds are opening up. Osprey was noted in some Newswire reports. They're the ones that had to shut one of their main commodity funds down last year, early in the year. They opened up two new funds, and one of them is a commodity-driven fund, from my understanding. And so we're kind of back to where we were last May, except the planning delays are in this part of the country instead of the West.
So I wonder if the micro fundamentals are a ticking time bomb that will go off on Monday night.
Well, we don't know that, but I think what I do come to the conclusion on, and what I've talked to, you know, Chuck and Sherman and Merrill and Bill about is, you know, we are in a position to hedge very profitable levels, especially in beans and to a lesser degree in wheat. We haven't gotten there quite yet in corn, but if we're at a huge advantage in terms of being able to maybe look around the corner this year and not get trapped like we did last year as a group of people and as producers, why not use the risk management tools at our disposal, get ourselves in position in case these outside markets do once again trump the micro fundamentals, keeping in mind, just like you always do when you do risk management, keeping in mind that if you don't grow a crop, you've got a backdoor in your hedge technique, you've got a backdoor in your crop insurance technique. And you know, using those two rules of thumb, there's really no reason why we shouldn't be locking in profit here if these outside fundamentals look worse and worse.
You want to hedge December at 470?
We're going to start doing some more hedging, Dave, but I think in the corn, we would still be of the camp that the basis has not reacted favorably enough. The futures market, the sentiment in Chicago has not given the corn the respect that it has in the beans and in the wheat. I mean, look at wheat, for instance, today, making the lead today, being the leader to the upside as we approach harvest. That can't be anything but good to corn if it's sustainable. And so I think that's where it goes back to. Corn has just been kind of the stepchild of the three commodities here. We think corn's turn is coming, so yes, we will hedge, but we'll probably defend those hedges in corn just like we have been up until recently in the beans.
Thank you very much there, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Let's look at the current tick in Kansas City. July wheat, 660 and a half, up 13 and a half, now up 13 and three quarters. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 606 and a half, up 13. December, 655 and a quarter, up 13 and a quarter. July corn, 430 and a half, up 6 and a half, now up 6 and a quarter. December, 451 and three quarters, up 6 and a half at 452. July beans, 1175, up unchanged. And November, 1032 and a half, they are up 9. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.